Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with host Sammy Sage.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
And Aileen Drexler.
I'm gonna make you girls a hump day treat.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen.
Okay, before we start this amazing convo with Jordana, we need to remind everybody about what we just launched this week. Are you incredibly excited about it? Because I know I am.
I'm beyond excited about it.
So we have an exciting announcement for our diehard DSTers out there, and it is called DST Back for Seconds. We are giving you extra content that is premium. It is so good. We're going to be sharing personal stories, things that we wouldn't necessarily want on the main podcast. And all it is $2.99 a month or $29.99 annually. You will get two bonus episodes a month, an ad-free listening experience, and you will be able to get episodes a day early so you can be the first of your friends to hear what we have to say.
So if you love DST and you want to come back for seconds, see what we did there, subscribe now. And if you're a fan of Jordana, or if you haven't met Jordana, you will be a fan of hers at the end of this podcast. Be sure to check out the You Up premium content. It's called You Up with Benefits in the You Up channel as well, also in the Apple podcast app. Again, guys, go look for it. It's called DST Back for Seconds, $2.99 a month, two bonus episodes a month, ad free. And we're doing like behind the scenes stuff, like shit we would never say on this show. So go check it out.
That's what I want to listen for. I sort of wish that like I knew what we were going to say that was a secret, but we already know all our own secrets plus more fucked up things that just stay in the head.
So yeah, everybody go do that now. All right, let's get back to Jordana.
Today, we are joined by the third head of our three-headed self, our three-headed monster self, Jordana. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Jordana's a fan of DST too, right?
I am. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it was going to sound more impactful when
Sorry.
I said it, but I...
I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, I love DST. I listen. I get very excited for the new episodes. I listen every Thursday and Sunday on my walks. It's like, I feel like I'm hanging out with you guys, but not speaking. And then sometimes I have like a lot to contribute to the conversation, but like I'm not speaking to you guys, so I can't.
That's how I feel when I listen to you up on my walks. So
yeah, there you
go.
But
today you get to contribute.
I know.
I was so happy knowing that you were the guest. I'm like, ooh, I don't have to like an easy one.
Try.
Yeah. Like I don't have to try. Yeah. It's just so much easier. Like I know what you're like. I know that like you're not gonna like misinterpret what I say. Like I don't have to like I don't have to be
sure.
As on, you know. But
yeah, and I love the podcast. Such great conversation. So I'm excited to be like part of them.
You have like a strangely healthy relationship with food and your body, which, you know, the listeners, I'm sure, as I am, are envious of. So what attracts you to DST? Like, how can a listener tell their friend who doesn't have any eating issues that they should listen to this just because it's fun?
Well, I think it's funny because it's like I do agree with your statement to an extent that food is not something that I have like necessarily like a complex around or anxiety around. It's not something like that. But I feel like I have the healthiest relationship with food that I could while still growing up in a society like ours that, you know what I mean? Just be like, I do have that, but I'm not like immune from probably like unhealthy dieting thoughts or unhealthy, like, do you know what I mean? But they're not like a part, they don't constantly, I don't think about them like a lot or frequently, but yeah, I, you know what I mean? I have a wedding coming up. It's not something that's totally out of the realm of anything that I think about. And I think that's just from being a woman growing up in America. Like, even though I didn't get a lot of discussion about my body or food or anything growing up, it's still like, I live in the United States. Like, right. I've consumed the same media as you guys. Like, we have the same friends like that. And I think my favorite part of listening to the podcast is just making me think about how all those societal, cultural things have like impacted just almost in my subconscious, even though I'm not actively thinking about it. I don't think I have like a disordered view about it, but then it does make me think about things that I wouldn't think about otherwise. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And it's like everyone's sort of like, it's sort of the mix of like the society plus your own personal issues, which I think, so it's like we all grew up in the society. So we all are affected not only with like eating. Obviously, we all grew up in the society. You're laughing at me, but like, yeah, but like we all grew up with the same messages around eating, dating. Yeah.
We grew up in the same town too, sure, around the same people. I think like our families like played a big role. I think like our genetics played a big role and the messaging around us.
And then our own like personal problems that like interact with the societal messages is what sort of forms like, you know, our own individual struggle.
Totally. And it's also interesting to hear like about that part of your lives as just my friends. I mean, not just the listener of the podcast, but knowing you guys, knowing like, especially when you talk about like how that's played into different parts of your lives or even stages of our lives together, like in college, like I've learned things about you guys right. And like, you know, why the way you've thought about certain things or how certain events in our lives have affected you, which just as your friend is an interesting.
Right. Because thing technically we wouldn't really share that with you because I feel like before this, like we wouldn't know that, or I wouldn't know that you could relate to it. Right. So like, that's right. Why, like,
it's not something we talked about.
Right. I agree. Going back to your wedding though, like, are you on a, have you ever been on like a diet? Have you counted calories in an app?
I remember I've done it for like a day and then I was like, I'm not doing this. I was like, I have done it for like a day, like maybe before a vacation, and then just being like, this isn't like, it was the kind of thing where it's like, if it's not listed on the product, I'm not calculating it. But I have done like a juice cleanse before.
When you say I don't, like, I can't do that. Like, why?
Because I think to me, one, it was like the whole, I feel like there was almost like a learning curve for it that like some people, I felt like maybe like you guys or other people that I knew, yeah, understood like where it was. And I was like, I'm not going to like get past the, like, I can, you know, some people like look at it and like a food and they're like, I just know how many calories are. And I have the
scanner gun in my, yeah, head. Like, I can just scan everything and it just comes up with the price, yeah, the price, but actually the caloric.
Yeah. Like, I could look at something and probably be like, guess the ballpark. Like, this coffee probably has about 100 calories worth of milk in it.
Wait, but Jordana, you also, I'm assuming, seeing that you thought it was like a hurdle of a learning curve, you also were like, this is going to take me too much energy and it is not worth it, I'm assuming, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure. It was kind of like, I think it's because I generally do like have not had many issues with like my body image. And I definitely, like, generally speaking, I feel like have liked my body or felt like I've had a good relationship with like with my body and a lot. And so sometimes, yeah, I've wanted to lose like a little weight here and there for sure. But it was never like, I don't want to lose it enough to like figure out all this shit. Like, I'll just like.
But even you hearing you say like the sentence, I want to lose weight, sounds foreign coming from your mouth, because like, I don't think I've ever heard you actually say that. Whereas like, I can hear Aileen say it.
Sammy, I'm going on a new plan.
Yeah. Like, it sounds weird coming out of your mouth because you've never said that. Like, when you say this isn't worth it, is the second thought like, I like my body enough that I don't have to? Like, does that come into your calculation? Because like,
or like, yeah, I'm going to try, like, maybe I'll try eating healthier. And if it does, like, and hopefully it'll work. But like, the consequences of it not working are like an extra couple pounds, which is like fine. Like, it's right. Not, it wasn't so much. I've never wanted to lose so much weight that I was like, I need to do a serious, it felt like I needed to do like a serious change.
Have you ever like gained weight? Like, I actually can't remember any time where you've like gained, put on a little weight.
I have, for sure. I mean, it's like, it's funny because everyone thinks that about like other people, but like everyone knows their own body and the set. Like you, it's funny. I feel like, especially listening to this, like thinking about you guys talking about like your weight loss and weight gain, and like how much I would have noticed it versus how much you notice it. And like, I mean, obviously I see you guys all the time, so I don't like think of it. Like this was a time that Aileen, oh yeah, like that year was a year like Aileen was thinner, or like that right, year was, right. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, everyone has their own like thought process about like the number that they feel like they're best at. And I've definitely had that. I remember getting into my current relationship, just my lifestyle changing a little bit. And I did gain weight on that in that instance. And I did feel like not great about it, but I think it was also just that new relationship. Like we're just drinking wine and eating like charcuterie every,
yeah,
like twice a week, which kind of creeps up on you, especially when you're in that beginning phase. So I don't think the world is like, yeah, that was a period for.
That is kind of funny though. Like Sammy and I like mark our lives. Like there's a time, like if you look at a timeline, if I were to write one out, I know like my weight.
Yeah, I could write a weight timeline.
Yeah, a weight timeline. But no one else thinks of us that way.
Well, I think we probably think about that about each other at this point. I now know Aileen's. I know when you were thin. Because we've talked about it.
Yeah,
this.
You don't change your like thought about me as your friend based on my weight. Whereas
no, but I know your whole weight history. Like
right, but whereas you may change your own like the way that you see yourself, like your value or your worth based on that time. You know, that's actually really interesting. Yes. I never even like thought about it like that. Having a friend here as our guest.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Speaking of your relationship, Jordana, you host You Up podcast, Jared Fried. Everyone go listen if you don't already. You probably do. So speaking of your relationship then, and you saying how you felt kind of bad about gaining some weight because of Puzzles and Pursuit, etc., during dating Mike in the beginning.
Those winter months. Yeah.
Did it affect your relationship in that time, or did you not let it, or wasn't it not strong enough? And did you tell Mike how you felt? How did that go?
I don't think I did, especially like, I mean, it was the beginning and I think I was probably not like secure enough to say like, I feel like bigger or bloated or something like that. And I think that relates back to my own dating anxiety, which is more of my constant struggle than something with anything else. It's funny because I did, you know what I mean? I now that I'm thinking about it, it's like I have always felt a body confidence or a confidence in the way I've looked as it relates to men, mm-hmm. right? But Mike is not particularly like, he doesn't comment on that at all, which to an extent would almost bother me because I'm like, I pride myself on this and like, you're not like noticing or like, and I even to this day, actually, I'm like, it actually would make me feel like good if you would note or comment, you know, I do work out a lot, or if I am, you know, if I feel like I look good, I don't get that verbal affirmation from him. I'm like, do you see it? He's like, yeah, I think you look great. But he doesn't notice the, like, the fluctuations or the differences, or like if I look bitter one week or another. But I notice, and I like him. I'm almost want him to comment more on my body.
Right.
If
right.
that makes sense.
You're like, please objectify me. Please.
Right. And to me, that almost made me think, like, do I do this? Do I like my body for what it means for, like, men's attraction to mm-hmm. me? Or do I like my body because I like it? And I think that, you know, in addition to listening to your podcast, also makes me think about those things. Like, what is it about my body image? Or is it about how I feel when I feel like I look good? Or is it about like what other people think of how I look that actually makes me feel good or bad?
Is there something that you wish that, like, your good body could promise you, like, in the relationship? Do you know what I mean? Like, what role do you feel like it plays in your relationship if it's not just, like, getting compliments, you know?
I think it's a confidence thing. Obviously, when anyone feels like they look good, I feel like they're just more, or they just feel confident in themselves, no matter what that is. I think they're just more mm-hmm. pleasant and fun to be around because they're enjoying the moment. And that mm-hmm. goes for anything. If someone's, like, in a relationship, they hate their job, or they feel like they're, like, aren't, you know, comparatively aren't doing well, or they feel like they feel bad about they're in a lot of debt or anything like that. I think any of that kind of takes you out of the present moment and makes you think about what other people are thinking of you, and makes you not as fun to date or to be around or to be as good of a friend.
Very
it's
true.
Like, the more that you can be in what you're doing and just enjoying that moment, like, the
right
better partner, friend, person you are.
Right.
Like, think about, like, your moms, our moms too. It's like, I've heard you guys talk about that too. It's kind of like, imagine you could be a better, more supporting, loving mother if you weren't thinking about how any of that other stuff, like, affected or, like, played into what you were doing.
Yeah.
Right. You just focus on, like, the nurturing part of that.
Do you feel like maybe later in life, when, like, you know that you're not looking as hot, you might be happy that Mike doesn't care, like, that Mike didn't, like, make that such a centerpiece of how he relates to you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think about the other side of that too. I mean, like, it's funny because every coin has two sides to it. So I'm like, when I'm feeling good and I don't feel like he's noticing, it's annoying. But then when I'm like, I feel like the other way, like, I don't think that he notices that much either. And he just doesn't, I don't think that's something that he's, like, actively mm-hmm. thinking about, like, at all.
I also think that's true of a lot of men. I don't know about women. I don't want to generalize, but a lot of men we sort of project our own insecurities and we think that they notice so much more. It's not just Mike. We think that they notice so much more than they're actually noticing. And then what I've realized I messed up on in my relationship is that I've noticed it loudly to Rusty. So now he's even more, like, I really backed myself into a corner
right.
because now I know what he thinks I think of myself. And now he's focusing on those things sometimes. So for people who are listening and they do have body insecurities, which I'm sure is very much the case, do you believe that you should be vocal with your partner about your insecurities? And if so, how?
I think yes, assuming that you are, and this goes for body insecurities or in any insecurities that you have that are, like, because to me, I think of, like, there's so many things that you could be insecure about. And we get so many emails from different people who are worried about, you know, is he going to judge me because I don't have enough friends? Is he going to judge me because I don't talk to my mom? Is he going to judge me for all these, like, or she, whatever, are they going to judge me for any of these things? Or any of these problems. And I think the important thing to realize is that everyone has something they're insecure about, right? And to me, when dating or when thinking about those emails, it's less about, like, what is my insecurity or what is my problem or what is this big bad thing that I have to reveal to this person that I'm dating, and more about, like, and what am I doing to, like, fix it or help myself? So it's like, we say, funny, because we play, like, red flag or deal breaker, and, like, nothing to me is actually, if you think about it really, like, nothing is really a deal breaker if you're dealing with it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you could come to a date and say, I've had some issues with food or my body and I'm working on it with a therapist, or I'm working through it in this way. It's really made me think about it and I'm working towards, like, body acceptance. Or I have a massive amount of student loan debt. I get kind of insecure about it, but here's what I'm doing to, like, figure out how to pay it off. And I'm working towards figuring that out. And I think that's the much more important part of it, because everyone's always going to have things they're insecure about. It's more about just like, what are you doing to help yourself?
What if you haven't gotten to the place of doing something about it? Like, what if you want to just be vulnerable with someone? And at what point do you think it's appropriate in your relationship to share something like that? Like, what if you have no idea what you want to do about it? You know?
Right. Well, to me, that's like a, I think that's a tougher position as the person that you're dating. It's like, but even if you don't know what you're doing about it, is it something that you want to change? Right. Or is it something that you want to work on? Or is it something you would like help figuring out? Or are you kind of like, this is, cause I do think it can be frustrating to date someone who is complaining about something very frequently that they're not taking any steps to address, because then you as their partner are kind of left to like try to be the one to have to shift their mood or to encourage them constantly. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you can't really do that for someone. The person has to want to do it for themselves, and you can support them in doing that, but you can't do it for them. So I think that would be a more frustrating person to date, someone who felt this way, but didn't really seem to actually be taking any active steps to like help themselves.
Right. I definitely do that to Avi sometimes where like I will like have a problem and like it, like my doing something about it is just like complaining to him, but it's just sort of like, so I don't have to do anything about it.
I think you could do that here and there too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
sometimes you have to.
Sometimes you just want to vent. Like yeah. Mike will say like my back hurts. And I'm like, well, like I've told you about three different, what's the back doc? Chiropractors I found. And like, we've been talking about this for 3 weeks and you haven't made an appointment with them. And I'm like, so there's not really much I can do for you until you take that step to help yourself.
You know what's funny? The best advice, I think all three of us got this advice in one shot, and it was actually not pertaining to relationships, but it was just like asking someone, like if you're the person who's complaining or insecure or wants to share something, you tell that person in advance, like, I just want to vent. I just want you to listen, or I'm looking for advice. So please share that. So like somebody who just wants a vent does not want advice. like that would backfire. Like, don't tell me what to do, asshole. Like it works both ways. So I think that's also something like share from the perspective of complaining or whatever you're doing to cope with your insecurity in that moment, to like kind of set the stage for your partner to know what they should be doing in that moment.
I wonder what your thoughts are on a question we got a few weeks ago. Do you remember the email that was like, this girl, I think she had like gained weight or she had had trouble with losing weight, and her partner was like very much kind of like trying to get her to lose weight, and she felt like uncomfortable talking to him about that. Do you remember that email?
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
okay. What do you think that girl should have done? It was one of those situations where he was very much not like, it didn't seem like he was going to be emotionally there and just really wanted her to change her body back.
Yeah. I mean, in that kind of situation, I think you have to like go a step deeper in that and like ask the person, like, what does it mean? Like, what is the way my body looks? Like, what does that mean to you? Like, what is that? How does that make you feel? Because I think like once you get into like why that, because then that also forces them to think like, oh, it's not just, oh, I want to be with the person who looks as hot as they did the day that I met them. And more like, where does that feeling come from? Like, why do I feel that? And I think if the person is willing to kind of go there and think about it and like unpack that with themselves, then you can actually like talk about it and see if you can work through it. But if they're not, and they're just kind of like, if it seems very superficial, then to me, it indicates more of a superficial relationship. And I think that could also, you could think about, I like to think about these things where they're relatable to so many different aspects of your life. Like, let's say you're with someone and they were making a lot of money and then they quit their job, or they seemed like they like no longer had the ambition that they had when they, let's say you met someone, they were working all the time and they had these really lofty career goals. And they're working towards that. And then one day it seemed like they wanted more of a work-life balance, or they wanted a different kind of life than the one that you thought they did. And I think it's okay to say like, it's okay for you to need to adjust to this new version of myself. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not the same person. I think you have to realize that sometimes you're the one that changes, And you can't expect people to immediately just accept that you're a different person than you were when you started dating. But I think it's more about explaining that and seeing if they can see where you can come from, or if you can like both be okay with this new change in yourself. Right. And if you can't, then maybe you're just not a good match. Maybe you were a good match before, but you're not anymore.
But just commenting on like those two things, like I feel like weight fluctuations in a person's life, especially a woman's life, is expected. Like, you know, pregnancy, if that's how you choose to do, like just age is different for women than it is men. Whereas like, let's say you're with somebody, like ambition is something that you both value, right? And say ambition in meaning like you want to reach for the stars with your career, make a lot of money. But that changes. I think that that's different than
I don't know. I think you could value physical appearance. That's a value too. Like you could, I don't think that that's not a value, is like valuing being physically attracted to someone.
Yep. Well, also,
as like something that you're looking for.
Well, okay. You know how you always say like the worst fear like a woman has is a guy just like deciding to leave you one day, just out of nowhere.
Not a woman, but like me personally. I don't want to speak for all women, but my worst fear.
But I've heard you say on You Up that that is like a woman's worst nightmare.
Yeah, I think for especially a woman with dating anxiety like myself. But yes.
Well, on this podcast, the woman's worst fear is that a guy leaves you because you got heavy or because they're not attracted to you anymore because of how you look. So it's like. Right. It's still sort of the same, but it's like in that instance, instead of him just deciding he's bored, you let it, you caused it somehow by gaining weight or letting yourself go. And there's also a difference, I think, in like valuing physical appearance that just like is sort of happening naturally to you, which there is obviously like a large part of that, versus like, does the person just, did they used to like work out and like be active, or, and did they stop and just like become really lazy, or are they still like pretty active, but
their body's
just
changing.
They gained weight or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to unpack with that one. It's not like the analogies are not like straight to, you know what I mean? They're not, but in this scenario, if that, with that listener email, she was actively trying to change like her relationship with food, which was a different one than the one that happened when he met her. Like when he met her, she had, it's had different values in a sense. So she is the one that changed. And I can understand, I think we do have to have some sympathy for some people who were like, I thought I was getting this and I have someone else. Doesn't mean that they're getting something worse, but it's something different. And I think you have to be like a little patient with people as they adjust to like the different person that you become. And I think that people change in all sorts of ways as you, as your relationship progresses. And if people can't like adapt to them, or they don't stop to try to figure out what's really going on, or they don't try to brush things under the rug, then that's sort of when the relationship slowly erodes, no matter what the actual thing is. And that's why it's like learning how to communicate and share actually how you're feeling with someone, aside from like the superficiality about it. Part about it is like so important, just learning how to do that in any relationship.
So how would you like recommend getting ahead of that, like just in general, whether it's about food or anything? Like you notice that like one of you is evolving, or you're evolving differently, and it's sort of led to like not big tension but little tension. Would you recommend people address or like approach that as it's unfolding, as I'm sure it is unfolding for a lot of people post pandemic?
I mean, I assume all these things happen so gradually, right? Like no one wakes up one day and they're like, I want to change my relationship with, or I'm going to totally overhaul my relationship with like food or money or my career or any of those things. So I think it's up to both people to sort of like be in touch with what your partner is doing and feeling and like noticing those small changes. Obviously it would be great if everyone just felt confident enough to say that, like to share their train of thought as they're thinking it. And so it's not a big surprise, but if that's harder, and I think it usually is for most people, I think it's just about like letting someone know where you're coming from and not making it like without judgment or feeling like, and just trying to explain yourself and your thoughts and your emotions in the best way that you can, so that the other person sees where you're coming from and isn't like, oh, you changed overnight, or you're doing this whole thing overnight. It's more like, this is how I've been feeling. This is what I'm doing to have my actions align with like how I feel, or I've reevaluated this value of mine and I actually don't feel like this is something that I still believe anymore. Like, what do you think about that? Just starting with like, what do you think about this? I feel like is like the easiest way to talk about anything, whether you're talking about like changing your relationship with food or I want to get engaged or I want to move in. It's like, what do you think about this?
But with the caveat of not having an expectation of what they should say.
Oh, totally. Totally. Because, I've done that. I've gotten into so many fights about that.
My biggest challenge in everything you're saying about specifically intuitive eating and like communicating that to Rusty, because that's obviously like, this is what we're talking about. That was the biggest shift sort of in my life, because prior to this lat 2020, if Rusty could say like something that I would say very often would be like, besides like I love you or whatever, it would be like, so I'm starting this new diet. Like that was just like just as common. But like my challenge was saying to him I'm doing this thing, but making him see that it's not just like this fad new diet that I'm starting, you know what I mean? Like that was the hardest thing, that it like came from a deeper place. But for anybody who's in this position, I was also very on edge about like being judged for it. Like, what does that mean? Like, also he's from like in healthcare, like, you know, his perception of weight is different, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
For sure.
So I had to, it's a slow, like plant, you have to plant many tiny little seeds along the way. And then eventually he saw that I was not as mean as before when I was like miserable dieting all the time. Like it was just like a huge shift. He's like, Aileen, you seem like a lot nicer and happier and less like pissed. I was like, yeah, like that's just, I'm not starving myself all the time.
Totally.
So for anybody listening, just, I think it's like, don't expect also an answer. A specific answer.
Yeah, if you have a specific answer that you're expecting, like you want them to be like overwhelmingly excited and positive for you, like you're setting yourself up to be like most likely disappointed or like let down by someone's response. And I think it's important to go in just saying like, we're going to talk about it, but like I'm going to, and it's so much easier said than done. I've gotten into so many fights with that about anything that someone has expectations for.
You just kind of have to like either tell, or in that case, if you really want a specific answer, you just say like, hey, I need you to be really supportive of this right now for me when I tell you what it is. And if they're not, then you're like, then I think it's justified to be a little bit pissed, right?
But can't you, I feel like that's almost like an unrealistic thing to ask of someone. Like, I want your immediate support for this thing that you haven't had any time to digest or think about, but I need your gut immediate reaction to be exactly how I want it to be.
But it's not like you're telling them, like, I think I'm going to like be a serial killer. You're just like, I think I'm going to like slowly change my relationship with food. In this moment, can you please be supportive? We could talk about it later. I just wanted to share it with you because I'm trying to be vulnerable.
Yeah, I think as long as you're saying like, why don't you, like, it's okay if you like want to like, I would appreciate your support right now, but if you want to think about it and then we can talk again, that's also fine. Like share. I think it's okay to say you can share your fears with me about what I'm doing.
I can imagine a guy just being like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. That's what I'm sort of thinking. I'm trying to explain something like intuitive eating or really any sort of like, this is like the type of thing where I'm like just a horrible communicator. Like if you, I don't think I ever like sat Avi down and was like, I'm doing this new thing. I don't even like know how he caught on to it. Like it just kind of happened.
Does he listen to this podcast?
Sometimes, not always though. Like he probably skipped many episodes. So, I mean, but I don't think it was something that I was worried that he would oppose. You know, I think he's like watched me struggle and count, and he thought it was very annoying when I would constantly ask him like 5 times in a half hour, like, do I look thinner. Like that was weird to him too. He thought that was bizarre. Like
they say that in relationships, like the best relationships are the ones where you can sort of anticipate how someone will react to, you know, someone so well that you can anticipate how they'll react to like any, like almost anything.
Yeah,
because you know them.
Yeah,
so you like can formulate the way you approach it based on that also too.
He's great at doing that. I'm horrible at doing that. I don't know how to formulate an approach. I don't know how to communicate like complicated things calmly. Like that's what like amazes me, like that anyone could do that. Like
The good thing is that one person in the relationship is, at least one person is like that. Cause if you have two people who are bad at, if you have two people who are bad at that, it can be like a lot worse for the relationship. But if you have one person who can sort of like steer you in a direction, I think that that's.
No, Avi's really very helpful. Good at timing. He doesn't like jump on anything. Like I noticed, cause okay, like I'll give you an example. I noticed something like with that happened with work, like for him last week. And like, he was really upset about it. And I was like, why don't you call like this person and like talk to them about it? He's like, let's just see how the next few hours play out. And the conversation will happen. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you have to immediately like be talking to everybody. And he's like, no, like, I'm just going to wait and see for a little bit. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like,
good for him.
What do you mean?
Good for him. I think if two people are bad communicators, there's still hope. It's just those two people need to have the motivation or the desire to want to be better communicators with each other.
Yeah,
if you're
sure.
both like just so unaware or like not self-aware, that becomes a challenge. I think it even becomes a bigger challenge if one of them is very unself-aware, because then that person's just like, this is moot. This is like, what am
right.
I going to do?
Well, totally. And I think that like usually people go into things always thinking that they're the right one. Like my sister who's a couples therapist, well, she'll say this, like she'll be like, couples come to me and like, it's usually one person bringing the other person to couples therapy so that I can tell the other person why they're wrong. And it's like, that's never actually what's going on. It's usually both people like, because there is usually one person who's like, I'm doing everything right. Yeah, and this person, like, I have to deal with this person. And that's usually not
totally
the reality of the situation.
Exactly. Right. I'm sure in both perspectives, they're right and they're wrong from how each of them is looking at it. You know,
right? Because we all are only thinking about things through our own lens of like how we feel, and we don't think about the things that we do and how that can elicit certain responses or actions from other people that we don't actually want. Like, we're not actually getting the things that we want from the person because we keep trying to communicate with them in the same way.
On that note, I just started Dirty John last night. Dirty John 2. Okay. Yeah, no, that's I would say like a very escalated version of what we're talking about.
For sure. And I've seen similar things to like that in, you know, familial past. So I can.
So you must have really enjoyed the show then.
Since we talk about intuitive eating a lot, what do you think about something called intuitive dating? What is that, Jordana?
So, I mean, after listening to all your talk about intuitive eating, it really got me thinking about like dating and how there's so many, like just like dieting, there's so many rules, like there's books about it and there's rules and people feel comforted in rules, right? Like people like to know like good food, bad food, or like text, like don't text right away, text after, like they want to know, and so many people write in like, how often should we text between dates? Or like, when should I say I love you? Or like, when should we define the relationship? And they want rules because they feel really comforting. But the truth is like, it's different for everyone. Like what someone's comfortable with or what the optimal way of dating is so different from everyone. Or like people have so much anxiety, like, did I sleep with him too soon? Is that why he's not texting me? Did he ghost me because I was, too needy or I was whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that like, if you can allow yourself to date intuitively, which means occasionally making mistakes, trying all sorts of different things, and then asking yourself afterwards, like, did that feel good? Did I like that? You can find your own, I don't want to say rules, because I don't think like you should necessarily have them, but like, your own sense of what works for you in dating. Because I don't think there's one universal rule for how you should do any of these things. It's really about like what actually feels good for you when you're doing it. So I think sort of trying to approach dating in that intuitive sense would be a great like parallel to that.
I have a question. How does someone intuitively date when they are like fighting their own attachment style, which could be bad? Like, I think someone with a secure attachment could probably intuitively date very well naturally.
For
sort
sure.
of like how you can intuitively eat. Right. Right. But yeah. Right. But how does someone, but when you think about like with attachment theory, like I know
you know, we've experienced is like the thing that feels great is actually like the horrible thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of like how cake tastes amazing, but it could be unhealthy in too much quantity. So
I think therapy is really helpful for that. That's something I did a lot with my therapist, is like work through that kind of thing with him, where it was like, and it's sort of just, it's challenging your own belief system and also learning by actually experiencing, which is a part, also part of that intuitive thing. It's like, you can go out and you can sleep with someone on the first date and then like see how that makes you feel and then adjust your behavior going forward. Like, it doesn't make you like, you don't have to feel like, you don't have to like punish yourself for sleeping with someone with an arbitrary sense of like, oh, that was too early. Mm-hmm. And I think when you do that, it almost heightens your anxiety. It doesn't make you feel, but if you sleep with someone and you're like, how did I feel after that? Like, did I feel like fine with that? Like, I could do that again, or that felt good. Mm-hmm. Then I'll continue to do that. Or if it didn't feel good, I won't. And I think if you're anxious, you probably have this sense that these unhealthy relationship styles are actually like, that's what's going to make you happy. That like finding someone who withdraws is actually like more exciting and happy. But the best way to unlearn something is to do it a different way and see a different result. So going out with someone who like actually is consistent and responsive and letting yourself do that for long enough time to say like, oh, being with someone that cares about me then is there and consistent, this feels good. And I don't know that feels good based on this hypothetical sense of like, logically I know this should feel good, but you actually have done it and gone through with it and then felt like, okay, that does feel good. Or having someone break up with you after 3 months of dating kind of feels like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But if you do that enough times where you're kind of like, okay, this wasn't the end of the world. Like, we could date for 3 months and then we break up and then it feels bad for a little bit, but I let myself feel bad and then I move on and I do it again. And it doesn't have to be this big, bad, lingering, terrible thing. Mm-hmm. It could just be like something that happens and I move on to the next.
I saw something on the You Up podcast account, Instagram account. Guys, you should follow it. On the story that was like, I guess there was a question box and people submitted like the best dating advice they ever got. And one of them was like, if he's into you, you'll know. If he's not into you, you'll feel confused. And I feel like that is one of like the most clarifying statements, because like, if you are really confused for a long period of time, like a month, like, yeah, I think that you can just ask yourself that question. Like, am I confused or do I feel like I know he likes me?
Right. Or not even does he like me? Like, or, do I like him? Like, right. does this style of communicating feel good? Like, is he treating me in a way that feels, or I feel good every day? Or do I feel like anxiously wondering when the next time he's going to text me? Did I sleep with him and then not? And then I didn't hear from him for a few days. Like, do I want to date someone who acts like this in dating? And I think I used to do this all the time. It was like, you spend so much time thinking like, does this mean he likes me? If he doesn't text me this often, does that mean he doesn't like me? When you should be asking yourself, do I want to date someone who doesn't text me every day?
Right.
And some people don't. I think some people actually don't care. Like, and right, that's also cool. It's more about knowing yourself. And that's the intuitive part. It's like, yeah, what feels good to me? That's someone who I should date.
Right. I think that's where the rules kind of get like in the way, because you're like, actually, like, I don't really mind that he's kind of like not 100% communicative all the time, but you feel like, oh, he must not like me because that's what I read on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
And I think it's kind of funny. It's like, you think of like good foods and bad foods. You think of, it can make you like demonize people. You could say like, well, this is a bad guy or this is a good guy. And I think if you do that, it almost adds to the anxiety of dating. Whereas if you think like, this is a good match for me or this is a bad match for me. And it's funny because I feel like there are certain people or friends of ours or like outer circle friends where you'd see they would explain their breakups in a way that was so much more empowering than like, and then he didn't want to date me. It was more like, and then I just didn't feel like he was like responsive or texting or like communicative enough. And so like we moved on, but really sort of the same thing happened where like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? There was a breakup, mm-hmm, but it's just the way you frame it, which makes it much more healthy, as opposed to like, I really wanted to date this person and then they just kept withdrawing and they didn't want to date me, as opposed to this person wasn't giving me what I needed. And yeah, so we both went our separate ways.
Right. I feel like that is such an important shift. Like, it's not that you're not the inadequate one. Like, whatever you need is perfectly adequate. It's whether or not any particular person meets that.
It's
Exactly.
Really, it really is very, very parallel to intuitive eating, just because it is like a belief system, and that focuses on you being like the narrator of your story, rather than the world and all the external telling you what you should be doing. So I like it. Did you intuitively, do you think now going back that you intuitively dated Mike?
No.
So yeah. Then how did you know,
I think
listener question, he was the one?
Yeah. How did I know he was the one? I mean, I don't believe in the one. Okay. I think that he is a great match for me. And I think that I knew that when I felt, a peace of mind. I felt at ease. I felt like I was with someone who brought out the best in me. I felt like I was with someone that I felt secure enough with, that I could go out and do all these other things in the world without having to constantly have this anxiety about, like, is this person going to leave me, or is this person like me or care about me? And I think that it takes it's not a linear thing. There's a lot of like two steps forward, one step back. And part of that was him, and part of that was me also growing. And so I think it's just about finding someone who will, like, again, affirm that idea that people aren't going to randomly leave you, or that you can see for yourself, like, dating someone who's like just there and consistent and not dramatic, or doesn't have those highs and lows that almost feel like you're doing drugs, that's not actually good for long-term stability and happiness.
Yeah. I don't feel like I intuitively dated Avi in the beginning either.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I remember we would text, like, and you'd be like, should I text him this? Should I text him that?
Yeah.
And, like, I have the same, you know what I mean? I had the same.
Yeah, here's why. Okay. I really do think that, like, having an anxious attachment style or an anxious avoidant attachment style is similar to having, like, eating issues. Like, the codependency with the object, aka the person or the food, is similar.
Thinking about it constantly. Yeah.
Thinking about it constantly, always on your mind. Your validation comes and goes with it. And I think that, like, at the time, I probably also had codependency issues that were then cured or helped by the stable relationship. So it's like you almost need the thing that's going to prove to you that you can be secure in order to get past those things.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to, like, almost like wait it out long enough to, like, see how you feel once it's actually there.
Yes.
And that's the hardest part. Almost like it's hard to believe anything that you haven't seen before. So mm-hmm. If I'd never really dated someone who I felt like was this consistent, or like, I didn't think that would make me happy. Someone who was like, you know, consistently there and stable and, like, you know, though I didn't think that was like a thing that people even could really care about you in that kind of way. And you kind of learn by just experience. That's the only way you can really internalize something. I think someone could tell you something a million times, but if you don't actually see it for yourself, it's a lot harder to believe.
Agreed.
All right, last question from listeners. I'm sure you're all wondering. So, Joanna, you're getting married in November. Very excited.
I am.
To be there. Are you on a wedding diet / workout plan? And if you are, please share.
No, it's funny because how do you define a diet? Like something that you're like rigidly sticking to?
I think if you change your eating style with the hopes
intention
to lose
of getting
weight.
Smaller.
Yeah, I'd like to lose like 5 pounds. Sure. So then, yes, I guess.
You should just do a juice cleanse the week before then. Like, that's really all you have to do. You'll be fine.
This was way easier to do in the pandemic, but I try to like revolve like what I eat around like when I would most enjoy having a like meal. So I eat a healthy lunch because I'm usually busy during the day and I don't really have time to like savor whatever I'm eating. So I'll have like a quick healthy lunch that I do most days of the week, and it's just easy. I don't have to think about it. And then for dinner, I do whatever I want.
DPO. Right.
So I think it's nice. It's a nice balance. That was college.
What's your healthy lunch?
I have a smoothie with Greek yogurt, kale, bananas, almond milk. And I got into it in the pandemic, and now I just like, I really like it. And I like not having to think about it because it's just like good. And I like, and then I have peanut butter and bananas.
very healthy. What do you like for dinner?
Do you like chicken cutlets?
Yum.
Okay. And broccoli?
Delish. Yeah.
Or so we do salmon and potatoes. Mm. Or if I'm making it, if I'm not like, and I, again, during the week, I try to make food. Meatballs, fun.
See, it's so funny. Like if I ate what you eat, I could lose 5 pounds in an instant. An instant, I tell you. Yeah, like if I was having a smoothie with kale and Greek yogurt every day, and then salmon and potatoes for dinner, like
it's good though. On the weekends, if I go out to eat, or I order in, I get whatever I want. But I feel like I'm making it. I try to be like healthier.
Not saying it's bad, but I'm saying that you're great. No, you're too great. I'm saying I associate like that type of eating menu. I associate that type of like list of food consumption to be what I would do to track my calories and.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I feel my best when I do that. And on the weekend, I usually, especially now that there's actually more events and things to do, I do whatever I want. But I usually end the weekend feeling like kind of bloated and like uncomfortable. And I miss that like weekday routine because I actually feel like I have more energy when I like eat like that. And again, I don't think you should do the everything all the time, but it actually feels much better to do that, totally. I think.
Oh, for sure. It feels much better. It's like when it's like being in a secure relationship feels much better, but it doesn't when you have codependency.
Yeah. And I think it wouldn't feel much better if you never had, like, if you were never going out to eat and eating whatever you like. I think the balance of it is also, that's the most important part. It's like, yeah, we try generally to date in a way that makes us feel good. Sometimes we do sleep with someone earlier and we know that it might make us feel bad.
Like,
and that's also okay.
Or when you fuck up.
Yeah. Or sometimes, you know, like you do drink too much or you eat stuff that doesn't make you feel good. And like, that's okay too. Like it feels kind of gross. And maybe the next time you don't do it, but maybe next time you do it. It's also fine too. It's kind of like, I don't know.
Well, thank you. This is great. Thank you, Jordana. I'm sure you'll be back when I'm out on maternity leave, which is quickly approaching. But all right. Thanks, Jordana. Everyone, go follow Jordana at Jordana Abraham and go follow you up, listen to you up and do all of the above. Follow all of us. I'm at Aileen. Follow at Sammy. And email us dst@betches.com if you want us to answer your dear DST or send us your non-scale win for Thursday's episodes. And what else, Jordana? What else do we do at the end of this? We ask people rate, review, subscribe.
That's a good idea. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Listen to Diet Starts Tomorrow. Listen to them all, please. We have so many podcasts. We work so hard on them. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong and Sean Kilby. Social media by Sydney Rafe. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Betches.